Audio report recorded August 13th, 2014. A couple days ago, I got an email from a reader, a fellow named Red Pill Junkie. Anyone who's followed the comments on this blog would have read some stuff by Red Pill Junkie, RPJ. He pointed out that the hosts of the Paracast, Christopher O'Brien and Gene Steinberg, had commented on an essay that I posted on the Open Minds website. And the title of that essay is The Possible Unsettling Implications of UFO Sightings. Now, the genesis of this essay was that I did an audio interview going back now, well over a month, I think, with Alejandro Rojas, Maureen Ellsbury, and Jason McClellan. These are the three folks that that play the role of journalists for the site Open Minds. And during that interview, I kind of called them out, and I feel like I went right up to the line of being rude, in a way, and said, "You guys need to dig deeper. You're not digging deep enough in this UFO stuff," which I feel I needed to say because their site focuses heavily on UFO sightings and doesn't really dig into the weirder stuff, and that's that is what I feel is being ignored by, let's say, the nuts and bolts crowd of UFO researchers. I feel like maybe I caught them off guard and maybe I offended them a little bit, but Jason McClellan, no relationship to me, maybe some relationship, way back in Scotland somewhere, but Jason said, "Well, here's what you should do, Mike. You should write an essay." So I did. It was based on some stuff that I had been wondering about, and it could be traced back to an original article written by Elaine Douglas for the MUFON Journal. The article is linked here on this page, and that would be both articles, the one written by Elaine Douglas and the one written by me just recently. Okay, so back to the Paracast. The hosts, Christopher O'Brien and Gene Steinberg, brought up the article at the very beginning of a show that was posted on August 3rd, 2014. And they were a little bit dismissive of the article. And to be fair, Christopher O'Brien had not read the article, and he even said straight up, like, "Listen, I haven't read the article, so I can't really comment on it." And there is something that happens, which I've noticed a lot, where you bring up an idea in an article, or an essay, or a blog post, and then people react to it as if it is dogma, like as if you are putting forth a conclusion, a dogmatic conclusion, when in fact all you are doing is kind of exploring some ideas. And I felt that's all I was doing. And they were treating it as if I was declaring outright that everyone who sees a UFO close up is an abductee. And that's not what I was doing. I had collected a bunch of quotes from UFO abduction researchers, some of whom I actually called on the telephone and talked to for a few minutes and got a quote. And the question that I would ask each of these people, each of these researchers, was this: what percentage of people who are reporting an unambiguous UFO sighting are actually abductees? Now, the term unambiguous comes from David Marler, who is a researcher who wrote a book called Triangular UFOs, and I like that term, unambiguous UFO, so it separates a little tiny dot out in the sky from a silvery craft hovering above the backyard. Those are two different things, and they should be treated separately. So I wanted to clarify it a little bit by saying unambiguous UFO. So anyway, the way the conversation went back and forth with Gene and Christopher seemed to be that anyone who saw a UFO was somehow an abductee, and that's certainly not what I put forth in the article. I was much more interested in just getting the impressions from UFO researchers, and there's no way they could give a percentage. What is interesting is that on one extreme, Joe Montaldo said 100% of the people who see UFOs are abductees, and on the smaller percentage, Roger Marsh, who writes for Open Minds and documents UFO reports coming straight out of the MUFON files, he said that 5% of the people were UFO abductees. That's a pretty wide spread in there. What is also interesting that a few folks, Elaine Douglas, Dave Jacobs, Yvonne Smith, and going back and looking at some quotes from Bud Hopkins, he certainly implied as much. He never said it outright, but he certainly implied as much. All those folks were saying that the majority of people who see UFOs are actually abductees. And then I will quantify that by saying unambiguous UFOs. So here, let me just play the clip from the opening few minutes of the Paracast. Now, I have edited this slightly just to clip out some of the extraneous stuff. Here you go. This is the host, Gene Steinberg, and Christopher O'Brien from the Paracast from August 3rd, 2014.
Let me ask you a question here, and I'll tell you why I'm asking you this question, all right? Now, listeners know that I probably have never seen a UFO, or maybe I did once back in the late 60s. Now, you've had UFO sightings. Have you ever seen a UFO at fairly close range?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. 150 feet away.
Once or twice?
That particular time was only one time. I've also had that was a structured craft in broad daylight, 50 feet above the road, that flashed right in front of, across the road in front of us as we were traveling south on Highway 69 in the Huerfano Valley. And I got to watch it for about 20 or 30 seconds as it went across the valley. The other time was we were coming back, actually, the Laughing Buddha Band was coming back from Denver, and we were on Highway 260 or 160 just east of Fort Garland. And we had this, you know, I estimated it at about beach ball sized, maybe a little smaller, or volleyball sized, a little smaller, of a brilliant laser red light that paced the car. It was maybe 60, 70 feet off to the left side of the car. And it just flew right alongside us for, I don't know, 10 seconds maybe, and then zipped off. That was pretty impressive. That was, of course, at night.
How close was it again?
60 feet maybe.
Okay.
Less than 100, definitely.
Okay, and these are the only ones?
Well, in terms of, yeah, I mean, close enough you could throw a rock and hit them. Yeah, most other sightings have been at a greater distance. I've had a number within a mile. In fact, one event was 13 different objects. I'm not sure what they were, probably military, but they were able to hover, go backwards, forwards. And there were 13 of them within 5 miles of us without a single hint of a sound.
All right, let's talk about the article. Article from Mike Cleland, posted by Open Minds just the other day. It's headlined, "The Possible Unsettling Implications of UFO Sightings." And he has interviews with a number of UFO abduction researchers, including Dr. David Jacobs, Kathleen Martin, and a few others. And the theory posted here, and not everyone here agrees with it necessarily or agrees completely with it, is that people who have close-range UFO sightings that are repeated may be seeing the beginning or end of a suppressed UFO abduction.
Okay,
I want that to sink in.
Hold on, let me check my rear end here. Nope, it's all intact. No, Gene, I like Mike. I think he's a pretty interesting out of the box thinker. But you know, I don't think you can take such a broad brushstroke and apply it in this fashion. I think the abduction phenomenon is far more psychological than, you know, a lot of abduction researchers and fans of that particular puzzle would admit. I think we're dealing with something that's infinitely more complex. And I don't really think you can take that brush and make that broad brushstroke and say, if you've had a close proximity UFO sighting, you're being abducted or stand a higher chance or a greater chance of coming in and out of a period of being abducted. I have not seen that in the literature. I haven't encountered that in my own work. So I of course I have to read the article before I can really pass judgment on it. But my inclination would be to kind of lean away from that sort of generalization.
I think some people have this theory that occasionally that's true, which it might well be. But some people take the broad brush approach, which is that it has to be the same in every single case, which is always a problem.
I do agree that is you just can't come up with these generalized rules of thumb like that. It just, I don't think it works.
The problem always has been in the UFO field is that when we try to find some kind of general consistency, such as 5-year cycles, 7-year cycles, whatever, suddenly the UFOs come back and just foul everything up again. And
yes, I have found that definitely. As soon as you establish what you think is a viable pattern, it tends to support that pattern until you open your big mouth and start talking about it, and then it does a 180.
Right, it's part of the UFO game, I guess. That
yeah.
It's also something you've written about in Stalking the Trickster. The fact that there are these things happening in the UFO field that somebody is manipulating them or something. And maybe they're playing tricks on us, but some of those tricks may not be too pleasant. But no. I will ask Stanton Friedman about what he thinks. Does he think that repeated close-up UFO sightings might indicate somebody's been abducted?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I could see how Mike would posit that particular hypothesis. And like you just stated before, I'm sure that some abductees could report that sort of close proximity, these close proximity sighting events. There is that, obviously, that possibility. But I think in high areas of high incidence, like the San Luis Valley or back in the 80s, the Hudson River Valley, I think it's just just being in the right place at the wrong time or the wrong place at the right time, however you want to state that. I think a lot of it is just coincidental. It's just, you happen to be returning home on that road at that particular time, and you look up and you see a huge flying triangle or something. I don't think that you're more likely to be abducted if that's the case. I think the abduction phenomenon is infinitely more complicated than that.
So much more to talk about there. We have Stanton Friedman coming up this week with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Hi, this is Mike. I am chiming in during the editing of this. Yeah, that seemed fair enough. I mean, given that they had not, that Chris had not read the essay. A couple points. First, Gene said repeated sightings. Now, I never said repeated sightings in the essay itself, in that article. I never said repeated sightings. But, I mean, to me, if someone had a repeated set of close-up UFO sightings, I would suspect very strongly that they have had some sort of direct contact experience. And then Chris was very fair. He did say, I haven't yet read the article, so I can't pass judgment. And then he just sort of talked in generalities, which was fine. And then Chris also said something that I agree with 1,000%. He said the abduction phenomena is much more complex, infinitely more complex than any easy answer would define it. And I agree completely. I feel like we are dealing with something collectively that is extremely difficult to pin down and extremely bizarre and at the outer edge of the outer edge of what we could actually even fathom. So no arguments at all from me on that point. Now, the next little segment, they introduced the guest, Stanton Friedman, and I clipped out a little bit of that introduction and just went into where he talks about the article. Now, he says very clearly that he did not read the article in its entirety, that he had skimmed over it, but he quotes it a little bit, and my assumption is that there's a little bit of editing that has taken place and that he was able to pull up the article and review it directly to make his comments. And the comments he made are entirely fair. And I'll chime in at the very end of this short clip, make a few more comments. But for now, here is Stanton Friedman on the Paracast.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay, all right. I'm going to hit you with an interesting article that came out in Open Minds from Mike Cleland, who I'm sure you know. And it's entitled, The Possible Unsettling Implications of UFO Sightings. He interviews abduction.
I just saw that listed. I haven't read it all, but go on.
All right, so you get the sense of it here. And he interviews people involved in UFO abduction research. And I guess the implication is that maybe some or maybe a great percentage of instances where people have more than one close-up UFO sighting might also involve suppressed abductions. What's your sense of that?
Well, I did read an article like that, and I thought some of the reasoning wasn't too well done. I mean, one guy said 100% of people who've had a sighting have been abducted.
Right.
I think there's some faulty reasoning here. To give you an example of that, all great-grandfathers are men. That is a true statement. that certainly doesn't mean all men are great-grandfathers. So lots of people have UFO sightings. That doesn't mean they've all been abducted. And I like Kathy Martin's comment. Two-thirds of the people in a survey she conducted with her co-author of a book about abductions had an observation of a UFO before the sighting. She's not saying everybody who's had a UFO observation has been abducted. It is not too surprising, I suppose, if two-thirds of those who have been abducted did see a UFO. I mean, they don't, suddenly show up out of nowhere. So that doesn't surprise me. But I didn't go along with what I heard from Joe Montaldo, who says 100%, Dave Jacobs, Bud Hopkins. I think they're way overdone. And it goes back, frankly, that early survey that was done that came up with that umpteen million figure of UFO abductees. It was a public opinion poll, basically. And if people answered two of the five questions positively, it was assumed they'd been abducted. But they had no looking at false positives or false negatives either, for that matter. And that's one thing you got to worry about with polls. They had no survey that showed that here's 50 abductees, and they all answered yes to those two questions. So we have no check on that. And I think the number was smaller than it really should have been. It was jumping to a conclusion based on an incomplete understanding of what was going on.
We have Stanton Friedman with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Hi, this is Mike chiming in one more time during the editing process. Yes, everything that Stanton said, I feel comfortable agreeing with. Though I would say, quite honestly, my conclusions seem to match more of the abduction researchers. I feel strongly that people who are seeing close-up UFO sightings, unambiguous sightings, there is a high probability that they may have had an abduction experience. And things to factor in that would make that seem more likely would be a very close sighting, a sighting with some unusual emotion attached, whether fear or lack of fear, a sighting that involves the Oz factor, which would be a heightened sense of silence or a heightened sense of bizarreness, I guess, associated with the actual sighting. People who have had car trouble, people whose cars stall out. I feel that is a very big clue that there may have been a contact experience that has been covered up. All that said, it is impossible, and I will in no way even attempt to give a percentage, but my sense is that there is a high probability that a UFO abduction or direct contact experience has taken place. So a few more things. Early on, Chris O'Brien said, I haven't read any of this in the literature, and he was implying that he hadn't read that there is a potential for a UFO abduction event merely in a UFO sighting. Now, I will disagree. I will say that that's it. That is in the literature, but Hopkins certainly taps into that as well as other abduction researchers. So I have read that. I have also heard it spoken in audio interviews as well as in like podcasts and things like that or presentations. So, that information is out there, and all I did was take note of all that information and then do a little follow-up and ask some folks. Now, Stanton himself said that, he was a little bit taken aback and did not agree with Joe Montaldo's statement that 100% of the people who see a UFO are actually abductees. I will agree with Stanton on that. I do not know what the percentage is, but I think saying 100% is too high. Though I don't know what the actual percentage may or may not be, but 100% seems too high. And even in the article, I kind of played editorialist, and I said that that was a bold statement. So I was pointing that out, that I felt that was pretty bold of him to say 100%, and I'll say it here that I didn't quite agree with that. Now, Stanton also pointed out that there's a public opinion poll that was done, I think it was funded by the Rockefellers, and that would be Lawrence Rockefeller, and it was done through Dave Jacobs and Bud Hopkins, and they came up with a set of questions that were asked, and now David Jacobs will argue quite forcefully that we should take this seriously, that a public opinion poll. Fair enough. I worked in advertising for a while, and I'm very suspect of public opinion polls, especially something as highly charged as that. Came up with the number, I think, of 2% of the American population has had an abduction experience or a direct contact experience that may or may not be remembered consciously. And that just came from answering questions in a way that UFO abductees would answer those questions. So they asked those questions, and then they went about, you know, I can't remember what it was, two or three or more of a series of 10 questions. If they were answered in the affirmative, they made the assumption that these folks had had an abduction experience. Maybe, maybe not. It's interesting. I am very cautious to put too much credence in that. Another thing is that now Bud Hopkins, I had a personal conversation with him. Oh God, I wish I had recorded this conversation. I wish I had recorded this conversation. I sat with him alone for about 3 hours and we talked. This would have been 2008. And one of the things he said was that, you know, he deals with a lot of folks, and some of the folks that he deals with have never seen a UFO, except perhaps from the inside, from the interior. They have memories of seeing a UFO, but they have no memories or no experiences that they know of seeing a UFO in the sky, which I find very, very interesting, because that is one of the very first questions that will be asked on any UFO abduction questionnaire. A couple more little points. Gene said, when he spoke to Stanton, that he pointed out that an article was written by me. He used my name, and then he kind of chummed up to Stanton and said, "I'm sure you know Mike Cleland." He does not know me. I don't think he would know my name. But we have spoken very briefly at conferences. He's a very, very sweet man. I like him enormously. And then, as a final comment, there was almost no editing that was done by the folks at Open Minds. Very, very minimal. They just wanted to clarify a very few small points. But the title itself was edited, which was totally fine. I understand completely. The title I submitted it with, which I actually think I even wrote working title next to it, the title I gave was "The Unsettling Implications of UFO Sightings." And what they changed that to was "The Possible Unsettling Implications of UFO Sightings," which was entirely fair. That actually makes the actual headline seem a little more balanced and a little less incendiary or exploitative. Okay, I've gone on and on and on. If you've made it this far, thank you so much. Bye now. Oh, I love adding little snippets of music to the end of these things. That was a single from the Barquets titled Give Everybody Some. And I've had a sort of dry cough over the last week or so, and it has left my voice very deep. I wish I had this voice all the time. I don't. I tend to be a little high and squeaky, but so I've got my radio voice. Once again, if you have made it this far, thank you so much. Bye now.